How's it going, guys? Medium difficulty question. Cardio pulm, step one, internal medicine, 2 CK, 56-year-old man, 1 month history, progressive dry cough, 6 month history, progressive shortness of breath, vitals are normal, auscultation of the chest shows a lattice two. Question wants to know the most appropriate pharmacologic therapy. We've got a CT scan here showing us honeycombing, a colloquialism that refers to a reticular or reticulonodular pattern, which is very buzzy and easy for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, AKA usual interstitial pneumonitis. I shouldn't say it must be idiopathic, just pulmonary fibrosis in general, okay? Equals honeycombing, reticular pattern, reticulonodular pattern, okay? The only time you're gonna see the word reticular where it's not pulmonary fibrosis is gonna be in neonates, NRDS, neonatal respiratory distress syndrome, can be reticulogranular. Okay, I've only seen one question where reticulogranular is used for pulmonary fibrosis, but you're talking one out of 30 questions, okay? 29 out of 30 times, they're gonna say just reticular or reticulonodular, which means honeycombing. They won't use the colloquialism honeycombing on USMLE, I'm just telling you, because it's perpetuated in resources, and it sort of looks like honeycomb when you look at it here, okay? So, 4 out of 5 questions for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, aka usual interstitial pneumonitis, is going to be a 6 to 12 month history of progressive dry cough in a patient over the age of 50. 1 out of 5 questions will be what I did here, which, if you look at this first sentence in isolation, nothing else, sounds like heart failure, left heart failure. So you got a one month history of dry cough, not 6 to 12 months necessarily. And they say that there's shortness of breath that's been ongoing. You say, well, that could be dyspnea from left heart failure, couldn't it? However, they go on to tell you or give you a very pathognomonic finding for pulmonary fibrosis. Here I gave you the CT scan. They can tell you instead that there's an increased FEV1 over FVC. That shows up in NBME question. So they just say, it sounds like heart failure initially. Then they say spirometry shows a restricted pattern with an FEV1 over FVC, handing you the diagnosis of pulmonary fibrosis. Loud S2 on USMLE, 9 out of 10 times is synonymous with a loud P2. Okay, so a loud P2, I've harped on in my prior clips and also in my PDFs, means pulmonary hypertension / corpulmonale. Okay, loud A2 would mean systemic hypertension. But if they just say a loud S2 in isolation, usually just refers to P2, okay? They can say loud pulmonic component of S2. So the valve is slamming shut due to high distal pressure. So let's just look through the answers here for what are we gonna do for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, AKA usual interstitial pneumonitis. And I keep repeating the latter term, UIP, because it shows up on the UNBME exams. You have to know that terminology. Choice A, diltiazem, wrong fucking answer. It's a non-dihydropyridine calcium channel blocker that's basically non-existent on NVMe material. Shows up once on a new 2CK form for a treatment of unstable angina. It's the only time I've seen it as a correct answer on an NVMe for steps 1 and 2 combined, okay, on one of the new forms. It's a rare drug. Verapamil is the non-dihydropyridine calcium channel blocker that's high yield, which can cause constipation. You have to know that. The non-dihydropyridines act on nodal calcium channels. Dihydropyridine calcium channel blockers, in contrast, i.e. nifedipine, amlodipine, they cause fluid retention / peripheral edema. They act on systemic arterioles. Wrong fucking answer. Choice B, Dornase alpha with an F, not a pH. Wrong fucking answer. Also, basically a non-existent drug in USMLE. I mention it in my farm modules, okay? I've brought it up before because you'll see it sometimes as a wrong answer. Holy shit. Okay, so you can be aware of sometimes what you see as wrong answers. So it's a nucleotidase that has some utility in cystic fibrosis, because they're going to have patients with CF have what are called inspissated secretions. Inspissation means to dry up or to desiccate within a lumen. So they can have thick / sticky inspissated desiccated secretions within their pulmonary, within the airways, and you can give Dornase alpha, which can help soften the mucus. Wrong fucking answer. Choice C, furosemide loop diuretic. Wrong fucking answer. So, all right, if you didn't know what was going on here, if you thought this is heart failure, weren't sure about the CT scan, furosemide loop diuretics, you need to know, are the most effective agents for decreasing fluid overload. Okay, so peripheral edema, pulmonary edema. In heart failure, if they give you a big paragraph and The vast majority of the paragraph is how the patient has low oxygen sats, can't breathe, refuses to lie down on a gurney because he or she can't breathe. If the overwhelming focus of the question is the dyspnea, you're going to choose furosemide. If the focus of the question is just the heart failure itself, and maybe they have one sentence about dyspnea, that's going to be ACE inhibitor or angiotensin II receptor blocker instead. Lisinopril, also wrong fucking answer, okay? Long discussion we could do in both these drugs. Furosemide causes hypokalemia. And if USMLE asks for a second diuretic that you put a patient on to further fluid unload, if furosemide alone is not enough, 9 out of 10 times, it's going to be a potassium-sparing diuretic, spironolactone, eplerenone, triamterene, amiloride. Furosemide? Wrong fucking answer. Choice D, lisinopril, wrong fucking answer, as I already said. So ACE inhibitor, it's USMLE's favorite drug for hypertension in patients who have peripheral artery disease, carotid stenosis, patients who have proteinuria, diabetics with hypertension, patients who have elevated creatinine or renin, obviously avoid in bilateral renal artery stenosis. But it's a high-yield drug. It's lengthy discussion, okay? I can quickly just tell you that for peripheral artery disease, carotid stenosis, they like the triad of statin, antiplatelet therapy, aspirin alone is sufficient, and lisinopril. Wrong fucking answer. Choice E, pirfenidone. Correct answer, okay? Quite rare that I have difficult or quote-unquote obscure drugs as answers on for my questions, okay? Because my style is not about gotcha nitpicky bullshit, okay? I'm trying to keep things high yield, but pirfenidone shows up in the USMLE. It's feedback I've received. Some of you who are watching this clip, you already know about pirfenidone, okay? Because I made a clip on pulmonary fibrosis, I don't know, 50, 80 clips ago, doesn't really matter, and I didn't mention this drug, and someone got very OCD. They're like, OMG, Mike, you didn't mention pirfenidone. It's like, you're right, I didn't, okay? But it's in my PDFs to talk about it. This is a drug that breaks down collagen, okay? It can break down fibrous bands within the airways. So it's one of the first-line agents for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And they assess it now on USMLE. So what you do for this question is, and I've said, don't choose weird sounding shit when you don't know the answer. And you could say, well, how are we supposed to know it's E then? I've said only choose a weird answer if you can definitely eliminate the others. So if you see this question, you say, well, I know it's idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. I know it's UIP. So what am I going to do? Diltiazem makes no fucking sense. Stornase alpha, that's weird. It's for cystic fibrosis. Furosemide, lisinopril, these are for heart failure mostly. And then pirfenidone is the answer we're left with. You know the deal. Until you make more content, if you like my stuff, scrim at you. And I appreciate your time. That's it.